1, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 51, 4 through 6. My people, listen to me. O my nation, pay attention to me. I will give the people my teachings, and my decisions will become like a light for all peoples. I will soon show that I do what is right. My deliverance has gone forth. I will use my power to bring justice to all the nations. All the distant places are waiting for me. They wait for my power to help them. Look up to the skies, and look around you at the earth below. The skies will disappear like clouds of smoke. The earth will wear out like old clothes. Its people will die like flies. But the salvation I give will continue forever, and my righteousness will never end.
Pleasure to speak before you again, brethren and friends. I will give this disclaimer. Once again, as I did in the class, I may be here for a job tryout, but I'm not here to please your ears. I'm here to preach the Word of God. So I want you all to know that before I start out this lesson. I am here to give you exactly what the Word of God says, and nothing more and nothing less. So as we go through this study, go with me in your Bibles and see what God has to say. Not what I have to say, rather what God has to say. And again, I just want to thank the eldership here. I want to thank this congregation for allowing me to speak here and maybe even continue with you here and laboring here. But nonetheless, let's get into our study. Isaiah chapter 51 is where we're going to be at. Isaiah chapter 51. As we just read a moment ago, there are many different topics that are brought up here. Three very important ones that I want to point out. And the first one that we want to talk about is that there is a law given in our generations that we are living in. God had specific points in time where He had a covenant for each point in time. There was a patriarchal law that He directly spoke to the fathers that we read about in the book of Genesis. There was a Mosaic law that we read about in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then you continue through the Old Testament and you get to the New Testament. And it starts with the book of Matthew in most versions. And there you have the New Testament. So the question is, what law are we under today? Is the question we're getting at. What law are we as people who are created by God, all created by God with souls, what law are we under? Because some Christians and some people are confused as to what we need to obey today. Should we obey one person's teachings? Should we obey the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, what should we obey is the question. So let's get into this study. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 4. We'll read that once again. So just read with me. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest. So, of course, we're focusing on that first part of it. But law will proceed from me. So that first half there, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. Of course, the reference for that in the Old Testament is Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. But let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. Hebrews 8, 7 through 13. We know today as those living under the new law that a new covenant was to come and also the Messiah Christ with it. Hebrews 7, or 8, 7 through 13 is what we're going to be reading. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now what is that talking about as far as growing old and vanish away? What covenant is that talking about? That's talking about the Old Testament law. So that would tell us that we're under a different covenant today, wouldn't it? Well, that means that we must be under this New Testament that we see here in our Bibles. The new law was given to us by the Son of God. He was the one who actually fulfilled carrying out the bringing of the New Testament law. With gospel accounts, with epistles, with the book of Revelation, every one of the books that you see in the New Testament, we have to follow that. We are under the New Testament law, people of this generation. And every single generation since Christ came has been under the New Testament law. And it will continue that way until the judgment day. And these things are taught in the Scriptures as we will go through. But I want you to understand, friends and Christians, that we are under one law today. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't go to the Old Testament and use those great examples of faith to help us in our walks today with God, because those were also children of God. The Israelites were also children of God. King David, all the prophets, think about all of them. They all did so many great things. Ezekiel, Daniel, think about all those great people, the great things they did for God. Those are great examples. But they were under a different covenant. They were under a different law. That doesn't mean that law is a bad law. It doesn't mean it's a terrible law. It's just a different covenant for a different time. And we are under the New Testament law today. Now you may be asking, preacher, why are we so focused on laws? Why are we so focused on what law we should be under today and what law we're under? Well, the problem is in the church and in the world, we have so much confusion, actually, about people going back to the Old Testament law, taking things out of it and placing it on people who are under the New Testament law. That is happening in the church. That is happening in our society. So we have to be careful. If I want circumcision, or if I want any one of those Old Testament laws or principles or anything like that, I have to realize I can't have those things in the New Testament because everyone nowadays is under only the New Testament. Again, that doesn't mean the Old Testament is wrong or it's bad. It's a good law that God made for its appointed time, but that's just the key, for its appointed time. There was the patriarchal law first, there was the Mosaic law, and then there is the New Testament law. Now, the next part we're going to get into in Isaiah 51 is in verse 5. Isaiah 51 and verse 5. Let's go ahead and read that there. As we read earlier, 51:5. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. God will judge all people based on this law. Just because I feel that I need to teach you something else, just because I feel that my way is better than God's, doesn't mean that it is. How many churches do we have out there in the world? How many denominations? How many beliefs? How many idols? How many different gods? We talked about that in our class a little bit this morning. How many? There are so many. Someone might be a little bit confused as to who on earth they're supposed to follow. Someone might be a little bit confused. So let me tell you, friends, the Bible is a book that was written by 40 different writers. 40 different writers with its content dating back to the very beginning of time, giving you every answer that you need. Where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? The three great questions of life. It gives you the answer to every one of those. Now, as you read your Scriptures, you'll see that there are three different covenants, as was told earlier. There was that patriarchal, the Mosaic, and now there's the New Testament. So the question is which one do I follow? Well, today, friends, we're under the New Testament. We can't go back to the Old Testament. I can't enforce anything from the Old Testament on you today. I can't. I can't enforce sacrificing from the patriarchal law on you today. Now, if these are more heavy subjects for you, you don't maybe know the Scriptures as much, that's okay. These were different dispensations in time. that God gave to His creation, to people. Different dispensations in time in which God gave different covenants to the people in that appointed time. Nowadays, we're under Christ's law. We're under the Son of God's law. He came to this earth and He died to set up this law that we're under, the New Testament law. So we should certainly follow that. We should respect our God enough, we should love Him as He loves us, to follow the New Testament law. And I don't mean to overdo this, so to say. But Christians, we've got a real problem in the brotherhood. We really do. Back in Springfield, back in the area where I live, there's been a lot of problems with this. People bringing things out of the Old Testament that shouldn't be brought into the New Testament. But nonetheless, people are doing it because of their own selfish desires, because of what they think is right. Did you know that instrumental music was actually a commandment of God in the Old Testament? And do you know what people do? They bring that into the New Testament. Why? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to services? Is it to be entertained? I don't come to be entertained. I come to worship God. I hope you do too. And I don't put a piano up here because God doesn't command it. If God commanded it, I would. But He doesn't. So, respectfully to God, I don't put a piano there. God also commanded that men be the preachers. So, I respect that. If it was the other way around, I'd respect it. Doesn't mean women are worse. Men, women, we're all equally precious in the sight of God. But God has a way that He has set up. God has a law that He has made. And we ought, as His creation, to respect that law. And if we can't respect that law, God's made it very clear as to what will happen to us in the eternal judgment. It's not about what I think or feel. And that's why I gave you this disclaimer in the beginning of this lesson. I'm not here to preach to you what I think or feel. I'm not here to make you feel good, to tickle your ears. I'm here to preach to you the Word of God. I'm not here to make you feel good, so to say, in that manner. So many are going out today to all these different denominations, and what do you see? You see big rock bands. You see these amazing concerts, wonderful concerts, with all these people and all this drinking and all those things going on. But why are those people really there? Are they there for God? They might think it, but they're not really there for God. They're there for that entertainment, for that drink, for that moment. They're not there for God because they love God and they respect His commandments. If they did, they'd be respecting how He wants us to worship. And they'd be conducting it properly. So God will judge all people based on the law that we're under. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 14 tells us that we can't hide anything from God. There's not a thing on this earth that we can hide from God. And we'll all be equally accountable before God. Hebrews 9, 27, it's appointed to every man to die, and then after that, to what? The judgment. So every single man and woman will be held accountable for the actions that they do in their life. Every man and woman. Because I have a suit on up here, does that make me get to choose what I want to do as far as worship to God? Because I look nice? No. Just because I look nice doesn't mean a thing. It's divine authority, you see. It's divine authority from God that gives us the law that we have today to worship, to follow, to be under, to follow the light as He is in the light. And if we don't do that, that's not following God. If we choose to do our own opinions, our own desires, that's not following God. That's not following His commandments. So let's get into this. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. What does it say there? Ecclesiastes 12, 14 tells us how every secret thing, whether good or evil, will be brought before the judgment of God. 12, 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And then I want you to notice what it says in the previous verse, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. You ever heard of Solomon? King Solomon? That's a guy who had it all. That's a guy who was a king of Israel. He had everything he could ever want. He was basically the greatest power in his day. He was a great king. He was fantastic. I mean, he had all the riches, all the gold, all the people that he could ever want. All the power. But Solomon is acknowledging something here. Presumably, if he's the writer of this book, he's acknowledging something that we need to fear God and keep His commandments. Even though He has all these things in His life, all these possessions, we as Americans in the United States have so many things. And Solomon had so many things. And he acknowledged, just as we should, that we should all fear God and keep His commandments. So certainly such is commendable to Solomon, and certainly such we should be thinking about as well. Even though it's easy to get caught up in this life and all the possessions that we have, we should fear God and keep the commandments that He's given us under the law that we're under. That is the new law. So God will judge a person based on that law. If you think about all these different dispensations in time, and brethren and friends, I don't want you to get wearied by this lesson. This is a very necessary lesson, a very, very necessary lesson. Those under the patriarchal law, guess what they're going to be judged by? They're going to be judged by the patriarchal law. Those under the law of Moses, they're going to be judged by the law of Moses. Those under the New Testament law, going to be judged by the New Testament law. So, no, you can't switch from law to law as you choose. It's the law that God has given us at this time in history. So Romans 7:6, of course, the old law is dead now. And there's a reference for you as far as that. But whatever is that current law, we have to follow it. And that, of course, that last point in that main text that we went over, I'd like us to go ahead and read that. Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke, the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Who in this audience knows when they're going to die? I don't. I don't know when I'm going to pass from this life. I could get in a wreck tomorrow. I could not. It could happen a week from now. Who knows when they're going to die? It's a serious question to ask. Only God knows. I don't know. So when do I have to be ready to face eternity with God? I have to be ready all the time. Ready all the time. So, space, earth, it's going to die and it's going to vanish away. We don't know for sure when this is going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Go ahead and turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, which is right, in which righteousness dwells. We don't know when this is going to happen. We don't know when the judgment day is going to come, when the Lord is going to come again. Certainly such is promised all across the New Testament that Christ will come back to save those who have followed Him. John 14:15, He who loves me keeps my commandments. He who loves me keeps my commandments. If we don't keep His commandments, guess what's going to happen? We're not going to see heaven. We're not going to see that reward that those in Hebrews chapter 11 saw. If we don't keep the commandments of God, we're not going to be in that great hall of faith, so to say, as that chapter shows us. We're going to be, rather, facing punishment eternally. Now, brethren and friends, which lessons, and I've asked this before, which lessons hit you the hardest? Whenever you hear a preacher talking, preaching, which lesson hits you the hardest? Is it the one about heaven or is it the one about hell? It's the one about hell for me. It's the one about hell because that's a terrifying thing. Being completely cut off from God, having no way of accessing Him, burning in a lake of fire for all of the extent of eternity. That doesn't sound good. That sounds terrifying to me. Absolutely terrifying. Heaven, though, if you read in the book of Revelation, sounds beautiful. Sounds absolutely beautiful. And it sounds like a God that cares about His creation to give such a thing. To give a city that is beyond the universe. That sounds amazing. So why don't I work to get there? Why don't I work for the God who made me? Why don't I love Him just as He loves me? Jesus came to this earth and He died for us to set up a covenant with His own blood. with His own blood. He came to this earth alone. The Jews wouldn't even accept Him. His own people, His own brethren, His own family wouldn't even accept Him. Nonetheless, He died for the creation that He made. He died. John chapter 1 says He made it. Christ made everything you see around you. The birds, the fish, the trees, the air. He made it all. The stars. John chapter 1, go read it. Jesus made it all. And then He came to this earth and He died for humanity. He died for every man and woman that would ever live and that ever lived before Him. He died for us. Can't we respect Him and love Him enough as He does us to follow Him and to follow His commandments? To follow the simple law that He gave us in the New Testament? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for people to respect God and to love the God that made them and loves them? Why is it so hard? The first lesson that I preached in a congregation, and a congregation other than my home congregation, was about what the world teaches versus what the Bible teaches. What the world teaches is from a man. What the Bible teaches is from divine authority. It's from God Himself. So why would I take the teachings of a man when I can take the teachings and the law and the thing that's going to get me somewhere, that is God? Why wouldn't I listen to God? Because of my own selfish desires. That's what people most of the time choose. Because of what they want to do. They choose to worship how they want. They choose to live how they want. They choose to destroy their bodies how they want to. They do whatever they want to. And it ends up killing them. Most of the kings of Israel died, had short reigns because of the evil acts that they committed. Most, historically, presidents, kings, they died most of the time because of the evil. We mentioned Hitler this morning. He died quick because he started all that evil stuff. All those Nazis, they lost quick. It only took 4 or 5 years. Evil never prevails. It never does. If you think you're going to win with evil, you're not. We mentioned Revelation 12:12. The one who's trying to get you there to evil is Satan. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. Because he knows he has a short time left. He does as much as he can to bring you to evil and to sin. When you could easily accept righteousness. You could easily accept the light. You could come to God. Why is it so hard to come to God and to serve Him, follow Him, and do His law because of the selfish desires of people? See, it's not about what I think or feel. It's about what God commands. It's about what God has told me to do and how to live this life in the natural way and the natural laws that He set up. I can't go off and marry a man because God hasn't set that up that way. I can't do that. I can't commit things like abortion. I can't do that because it's murder. I can't do those disgusting things, those horrible, disgusting things, because it's against the law of God, because it's against natural law of God. I can't do it. And if I do, it's sin and it's against the law of God. And I'm not worthy to go to heaven. Justice comes from the law of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 through 8. Vengeance is God's, and He will take vengeance on those who don't know Him and on those who don't follow His commandments. Keep that in mind the next time you want to choose sin over God. Keep that in mind. Because Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that lengthens. I wither away like grass. How short are our lives? How short? I don't know when I'm going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. Our lives are short. Think about all the people who have lived before us and all the ones who will live after. Now place your tiny life in that line. You should live for God with the life that you have. You should live for God with that short span of life that you got. You don't even know when you're going to die in it. You should live for God so you can inherit the same reward that you see across the Scriptures all these people inheriting. Heaven. So you can be worthy of that. you can go there and live with the God that loves you. Know that this life does not end with the last breath. You have a spirit within you that is invisible. And if you neglect that your whole life, you're never going to get anywhere. And all it's going to take you is eternal damnation. I hope that scares you, people. I hope that scares you. It scared me to death whenever I thought about being baptized, whenever I wanted to be baptized. The realization hit me. I can't go to heaven if I'm not a child of God, if I'm not in Christ. So where is that going to take me? It's going to take me to a lake of fire for everlasting time. That's terrifying. I hope you don't go there, and I hope you take this invitation today to follow Christ, to do His will, just as He loves you, love Him back, and show that. Jesus Himself, He said that heaven and earth may pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. This is eternal. His words are eternal. Christ Himself said that, Matthew 24:35. Christ said, and it's also repeated in Mark, if you go to the book of Mark, My words don't pass. You can look around at everyone. You can look around at all these things. What fades away in this universe? Everything, right? Everything fades away. Well, guess what? This doesn't. Not the pages. Not the pages or the ink. What God told you, that doesn't fade away. God will carry out His promises just like He did all the times before. He will carry out the same way. He will carry all of His promises out, and that includes on the judgment day. 2 Peter 1:3. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He hasn't left anything out. He hasn't left anything out. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. What does it say? Blessed are those who do His commandments, so that they may have the right to enter into that city, so that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life. Did you notice the first thing it said? Blessed are those who do His commandments. Not those who don't do His commandments. No, blessed are those who do His commandments. You think those who don't do His commandments, you think serial killers, murderers, all these people, you think they're going to be in heaven? No, they're not going to be in heaven. That's not justice. God's not a God of injustice. He's a God of justice. And He will serve justice in the end, make no mistake. I extend the invitation to you all today, friends. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you will not see reward in the end, scripturally. God tells us you won't see that reward. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And if you believe that, if you believe that all those writers in the Old Testament wrote about a Messiah that would come, and He came, and He died for you, He died for you and for me, if you believe that, and that He's the Son of God, He's God Himself, John 1, then confess it to men. And then be willing to repent of your sins, because all men have fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned. Romans 3:23. And then be baptized into the water for remission of sins, and to be added to the kingdom of God. And then, is it over? No. You've got to remain faithful. You've got to walk in the light as God is in the light. 1 John. You've got to walk in the light. You've got to do His commandments to be worthy to enter into the gates of that city, heaven. To be in the great hall of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. You want to be there? You got to walk to be there. Walk like God. Walk like Christ. Look at Christ's example. Follow the New Testament. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go to the teachings of a man. The divine authority comes from God. Don't go to a man. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with anything, physical, mental, or spiritual, extend the invitation to you as well. We all struggle with things in this life. We're not perfect. God never promised we're going to be perfect. We all need help. We're all on the same train to get to heaven, right? We all need help. So don't be ashamed to come to the front. If you need to come to the front, we will pray with you. We'll pray with you as your brethren, as those as your friends. We love you. We should love all souls equally. They're all equally precious in the sight of God. But if you have any kind of a need, brethren and friends, please come to the front as we stand, as we sing.